everyone. So welcome back to another episode of the Hello Spring podcast. I hope you're all doing well, because in today's episode, it's going to be more of a chill, sit down Q&A episode. And today is actually episode 20, which is the last episode you'll be hearing for this season of Hello Spring. But I will be returning in the next couple of months, so be sure to check out all my social media. All the links are down below, like Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, everywhere, so you know when season 2 will be premiering. But nevertheless, I did ask you all questions on like Twitter, YouTube, community tab, Discord, on what you all wanted me to answer based on the questions you have provided me today. So I will answer them to the best of my ability. But again, sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. So the first question actually comes from my good friend Ocean Sims. And if you don't remember, we did a podcast episode together on episode 3. So make sure you go give that a listen if you haven't heard it already. But the first question she has asked me, is there a Sims family you have played that you hold close to your heart? And there 100% is. And I don't know why I love this family. I mean, I do know why, but it's like this family is so different from the other families I've created, especially with their backstory. And it revolves around my Sims from my Cats and Dogs LP a couple of years ago, the Larson family. And it consists of Nina Marie Larson, Nate Larson, Darius Grove, Savannah Larson, and a few other Sims that are like the background characters. But the main focus is around Nina Marie Larson, who was a 17-year-old or 16 going on 17 year old Sim who lived in the wonderful world of Brindleton Bay for a couple of years until recently her parents died in a tragic fire on their 10th wedding anniversary, which is so tragic and sad. But around that time, Nina was only like around like 10, 11 years old. And so she had to move over to her brother's house, Nate Larson, with her wife, Savannah. And honestly, around that time, it was tragic because Nate was going through a difficult time in his life where his business wasn't really growing, but also he kind of got into the wrong path with the wrong people. And so it resulted into him going crazy with his job and crazy with his family, where he almost lost everything. And so Nina Marie Larson was a go-getter, an artist, a visionary and entrepreneur, self-made Sim. And she met this one kind, sweet person named Darius Grove, who happened to live like a couple of doors down from where Savannah and Nate lived at the time. And when they met, they were like instantly connected. They were the best couple ever I have ever met and ever made. And they were both artists, photographers, entrepreneurs, self-made Sims. And around that time when Nina became like 17 years old, she ended up being pregnant, which didn't stop her at all, but she didn't find out until like a couple of months later. And even though a lot of people called her names and criticized her and told her that she would fail at life no matter what she did, that didn't stop her to be the best person that she can be for herself, her boyfriend, and now husband, and her daughter, Nevaeh Marie Larson. And Nevaeh Marie Larson is so cute and so adorable, and I'm bringing them back at some point in the future, but for right now, Nina Marie Larson has graduated from high school, going to university in the art history degree. Darius, on the other hand, he decided not to go to college in order to help provide for his family and go into the manual labor career full time and make so much money to build them a new home. And I'm so excited for that. And they're going to be getting married very soon, which is also very fun. But you'll be seeing a video on YouTube, hopefully in the next couple of weeks or months, whenever I get around to filming the rest of the machinima that I'm creating. But overall, the Larson family is my 100% favorite family that I hold close to my heart and forever will. Because they're just so good, and the family dynamic amongst all the Sims are just so well put together. And if you want to go check it out, all the links are down below in the description in the show notes, so you can check out the YouTube Let's Play and all that jazz. But the second question that she asked me, how did your family feel about gaming as your profession? And honestly, they were a little bit skeptical at first, but until, you know, I showed them the ropes about YouTube and Twitch and how it all worked, and especially what was funny, me and my parents went to like this restaurant, and I literally, and I'm not kidding, I made a whole presentation about my YouTube channel, where I see it's going in the next 5 years and how I'm gonna grow it, and also what I want to do for the future, because I'm always a person who likes to plan ahead in the future, like a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, and see where it goes and work that plan until I achieve all of my goals. And honestly, it was wild that my younger self, like my 14-year-old self, didn't think this would be a profession, but it ended up being a very successful, in my eyes, successful profession, job that I've always ever dreamed for, and I could not ask for anything different. So, but my parents now are definitely 100% on board with everything I've done and what I'm doing right now and what I'm going to be doing for the future. But the next question, what's something you've always wanted to do in The Sims but haven't yet? And honestly, to be honest, The Sims 2 and Sims 3, I have never done the 100 baby challenge, but I've always wanted to try. But I'm low-key nervous that my game will literally explode and run out my room and out the window and never be seen again if I did the 100 baby challenge in The Sims 2 and 3. Eventually, I probably will, but not for a very long time until I feel the most confident. And the last question, how do you stay inspired to make content? And honestly, it's my community, my Spring Squad, my fam. They know me, I know them. And it feels so great to know that we are here through the end, through thick and thin, because they know how I make my content, they know who I am, and they know how inspired I get for certain little things, like maybe a toilet plunger or a piece of paper or a poster I see on the wall within the game. And they know how to be very collaborative. And when I was able to collaborate with my audience and show them that I want to get you all more involved in my content, whether it's my Let's Plays, my Twitch series, my Twitch streams, my builds, my creations, my storylines, because when you involve your community into what you're doing, it makes it so more worth it at the end of the day. And there was one series in particular that I didn't really continue because I don't know, I just get uninspired sometimes. But usually there's a series that I have made that I didn't know much about the heritage, the culture, how to create the Sims, what hairstyles I should put on them, how they should dress and everything. And when that time came, I asked my community, I need help with knowledge and expertise. And they flooded me with so many links and so much backstory that I necessarily did not know how to convey it very well in a video. And so I took all the information and read all more about it and made a Let's Play, made some Sims, and gave them a backstory that made perfect sense for the history and knowledge and culture that I learned through my community. And 100%, if you involve your community a lot more into your videos, it becomes more authentic and more real and more exciting to watch. In my humble opinion, I've always been so excited to just be able to involve my community, and the videos that I've made where I collaborate with them, whether it's through a build of renovating their builds or a Let's Play, I find my Let's Plays more entertaining that way. And so that's kind of really how I stay inspired to make content, but it's also through everyday life, whatever I read, see, or here, I tried to convey it through my videos. But yeah, thank you so much, Ocean Sims, for, you know, giving me all those questions. I really appreciate it. And the next question comes from my good editor, Ashley, and she asked me, what would you say is your driving force over these years to be persistent with content creation? Honestly, at the end of the day, it's always my community, but also time management. As long as I have a schedule and I write down what I want to do each day, it helps me keep a focus on what I need to get done so I can relax and sleep and hang out with family and do everything else and continue the next day. And so honestly, if you are a person who is trying to get into content creation or any type of profession that you're trying to do, whether it's YouTube, Twitch, marketing, social media, whatever it might be, I always tell everybody time management is key. Have a schedule, be consistent, because that way you can pinpoint the things that are more that you have to prioritize more to do the other things you want to do. Like for me, example, all my life, I've always been in school, but the past 24 years of my life, I've always been in school. But up until I was like 14 to 24 for the past decade, school, work, YouTube, and Twitch. I don't know how I managed it all, but I think I've always prioritized my school schedule first, which is very, very important to me. Education is very important. And then I put YouTube and my social media on the back burner because those were like more fun things I wanted to do at the end of my day. And when I was done with school, I worked on YouTube and pre-recorded a bunch of videos. And pre-recording, let me tell you, pre-recording is the key thing that helped me throughout my decade of content creation and will always and forever will be. And now that I have help with managing my upload schedule and have an editor like Ashley who helps me edit my YouTube videos and uploads them for me, has helped me so much, like tremendously, with staying consistent and persistent with my everyday life. I pre-record, she edits them, she uploads them for me, I make the thumbnails, and it's just like a breath of fresh air when you have help. And so having help, time management, and knowing where you want to go and having a schedule, like a little notebook or a calendar that you might have on handy on your phone or a paper right in front of your face calendar helps too. But that's kind of really my driving force to stay persistent with my content creation every single day for the past 10 years, which is wild. It's been almost 10 years in August will be my 10 year anniversary on YouTube. That's weird. Oh gosh, it's a lot of years of my voice on the internet. And now the next question comes from Blue Dempseyfly, and they asked me, what has been some of your highlights from the first season of the podcast? That is a really good question to ask, because I love this podcast, and I have been sitting on this idea to make a podcast for 2 years now. And I'm so glad that I did it this year, because it gave me the ability to stay home and work on my craft and learn from different content creators throughout, you know, the internet, whether it's like, you know, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Clubhouse, whatever social media people have, and learning their ins and outs on how they got started and where they see it going in the future. And what are their struggles, like their mental health? How's that going? Where you think you want to be in the next 10 years with your YouTube channel or your Twitch channel? And what has inspired you over the years? And I think that's what are like some of my favorite highlights. Being able to have a sit down, honest and raw conversation with other content creators has been the best highlight of this first season of this podcast, and it forever will be. And I cannot wait for you all to listen to season 2 of the podcast, because I got some guests lined up that I think you all will definitely love. And the last question, Blue Dempseyfly asks, what has been some challenges from doing the podcast? Anything unexpected? Oh, yes. Time. My health, getting my first and second poke of the vaccine, and also kind of being overwhelmed. My mental health at times weren't, you know, the best when recording YouTube videos or recording a podcast episode, and being able to tell other people that, sorry, I can't really record another episode right now. My mental health is not doing the best. I need to take a little bit of a break before I kind of get back up and doing things again. And even though mental health is very, very important, and it should be the first priority, like your mental health comes first no matter what. And I tell everybody that every single day, no matter who you are, if you are overwhelmed with something, take a break. Literally like if you are stressed out from work or, you know, making YouTube videos or recording anything with your voice and your face or whatever it might be, take a break, take a step back, take a walk, play Animal Crossing on your Switch or watch TV or watch your movie or read a book or just take a nap. Literally, just take a nap. Do what you got to do to get away from the hustle and bustle. And even if you can't take away or take time away from your full-time job or anything like that, take 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes out of your day to just breathe. Like go on your lunch break and just breathe. Go outside if you can. And just read a book while you eat your lunch, or, you know, sit in your car and turn on the radio and just take a small little nap or just vibe and just chill. Talk to one of your friends, text them, hang out with them, like video chat, voice chat, whatever it might be. Just taking that simple 5 minutes out of your day or how long you want to is very, very important. And my mental health was not the best throughout this entire process of the podcast. Here and there it was, but at some point it wasn't. And those were a little bit unexpected. But there were times where I had to go on vacation to go see family, which I love. Family is always comes first. And I think when I had those like unexpected, you know, things happening, even though I did have some extra like episodes recorded and that were being edited and had videos being uploaded my time away, sometimes some things can be unexpected. But I think at times it was just, what am I doing this all for? And I knew what I was doing it for. I was just doing it because I wanted to have a project for me to just have fun with. And even though if it wasn't going to be successful or was going to flop, I was still having fun. And I got to be able to talk to my friends because I couldn't see them for about a year and a half. Like I haven't seen anybody in a year and a half, and I haven't been able to talk to my friends for a very long time. Hopefully that answers your question. I mean, I just love talking. If you all haven't heard in all these 20 of these episodes of the podcast, I love talking. Mental health became a bit of a struggle throughout this process of the podcast for the first season, but taking breaks is definitely very much needed for me. And I just love that. So hopefully that answers your question. I hope so. So now that we have a few questions already answered, I want to make a little bit of a detour in the episode to let you all know that if you haven't heard from the Twitter or Instagram or YouTube or wherever else you might be on my social media, the podcast Hello Spring was nominated for an award, which is crazy. So make sure you go to podcastawards.com. The link will be down in the show notes below, but also on my social media, twitter.com/spring_sims. But make sure you go sign up and vote. And once you see the biggest podcast influencer, put Spring Sims as a name. And then once you sign up and get your email, you know, confirmed, make sure you vote for Hello Spring under the comedy category, but also the best Black hosted category as well. So you know where my podcast is, you know, put into the mix, which is kind of great. So honestly, I cannot believe that the podcast after 20 episodes has been nominated for an award. I hope crossing my fingers that, you know, we win an award or at least two. It could happen. I don't know. But can the Spring Squad, the simming community, and the gaming community come together and vote for my podcast? Because that will be lovely. However, you only have until July 31st to vote for the podcast. So make sure you go check out the links down below in the show notes, thepodcast.com, and vote for the Hello Spring podcast on both categories until July 31st. However, if you're listening to this episode in the future, it might already be over. But if you're listening to this now on the day it's uploaded, July 31st is the last day to vote. So make sure you go vote, link down below. But let's go ahead and hop back into the episode. Now, I got some questions from YouTube, and this one's from Aaron, and they asked me, what ways do you go about keeping things fresh and building a kind community around your content? And honestly, I always set the record straight that being your true authentic self is super, super important, because that way your audience knows who you are as a person, but also as a content creator, and only letting them know that you are a person with a life and you have other things that might come up that might be unexpected, that you might have to cancel a stream or not upload for a couple of weeks or a couple of days. And so when you're honest to your community and setting the record straight that I want to build a kind, healthy, and honest community, and they will understand. However, if they don't understand and they want to be rude and negative all the time in your community, they can go, you know, scoot, there's the door and move about your day. Because honestly, in my community, we don't have time for trolls. We don't have time for negative energy. We just don't have time for that. So setting the record straight at the very beginning of your stream or in your rules section or in your videos on who you are always helps somebody to know more about your channel, what you expect, and how you want to go about things in the future. So hopefully that answered your question, Aaron. So the next question comes from Carl Miller, and they asked me, what helped you overcome your fear of talking in front of people when you're doing such an amazing job on your Twitch streams? Oh, thank you, Carl, appreciate it. But also, where do you get your inspiration from when it comes to your building? And for me, at the end of the day, I have like this never-ending fear of failing on my Twitch streams because one, it's unedited, it's raw, mistakes can happen, internet failing, and it's just weird that I can't edit anything, which is kind of like drilled into my brain after so many years of making content on YouTube that was always pre-recorded and edited. That with Twitch streaming, even though it's raw and real and in real time, it's fun to connect with people. And I love talking, as you all know, for this podcast. 20 episodes is my voice, which is wild, but also connecting with people on a personal and deep level. Because usually on YouTube, you only get the one-sided conversation, but on Twitch streams, it's like I'm talking back to a person, they're responding, and it feels great that I can relate to somebody here and there for 3 hours or so. But with the never-ending fear of failing, I never feel comfortable streaming sometimes because I'm always on, I always have face cam on, and I'm always having the lights on my face, and I could mess up on saying a word, or I could honestly kind of stumble across many different conversations because I have ADHD, and it has helped and also worsened my talk, like speaking skills a lot, where I'll talk for like 1 minute from one conversation and go to the next one after a second, and then go back to a conversation from 5 minutes ago and talk about that. So look, I'm all over the place when it comes to Twitch streams, but I feel like it makes it very interactive with the audience that I have and the conversations that we are having. And even though I still have that fear, I'm becoming more comfortable with talking in front of people because the more that I'm talking on stream has helped me be more confident in my YouTube videos and also getting more opportunities to be live on a different channel with a different audience. It was my face and my voice. So I think having this podcast has helped me a lot with my speaking skills and having my parents help me with my speaking skills with Toastmasters and other things and taking, you know, time for my voice to heal from speaking for 3.5 hours or even longer. So I guess like that has helped me. Podcasts, Toastmaster meetings and talking to my friends and resting my voice and just reviewing some of my Twitch streams to see my audio quality, is it good, is it bad, if I have to change anything. So honestly, yeah, that's kind of how I quote unquote overcame my fear in front of like talking in front of people. And even though it can be scary, I feel like if you do it once or a couple times, you'll become a little bit more comfortable over time. It's not easy, but just taking the time to try it out and see what happens is kind of great. But if you don't like it, that's totally okay. You don't always have to have face cam or talk in front of people. You don't have to, but it makes fun for interactivity. And where I find my inspiration for building is usually Pinterest, driving around my neighborhood or multiple neighborhoods to find some sim houses I want to build. Like, I don't know if you do this or not, but if anyone's listening, do you ever just go on a drive in a random neighborhood that you just do not live in? It's like, oh, I can build that house. I can build that house. Ooh, that family home over there looks really cool. I can build that in The Sims. I've done that multiple times, but also I've gone to multiple open houses, like not buying them, but I have found a house I want to buy. But I have gone to many open houses in the past where I'm like, I'm just gonna walk in, take some photos, like I'm gonna buy it, not buying it. And it's like, I can build this house in The Sims. Good layout, good kitchen area, good bedrooms. Like, I'm just like that person who will look at real life housing plans and try to replicate them in The Sims. But nowadays, after so many years of looking at houses online and Pinterest and my everyday surrounding, it's become more natural for me to build like houses in the top of my head. Like, I just go into the game and start building whatever it might be and see what happens. But Pinterest is 100% the best resource to find any house plans or any interior screenshots you might want to replicate or take inspiration from your own Sims builds. Like, it's so helpful. So I highly recommend you go to Pinterest.com. Great time. I do have a Pinterest board where I do pin some houses of exterior, interior, and separate rooms. In case you want to go check it out, I'll link it down below in the show notes for you all. Even on my website too, so you can check it out too. Now, the last question comes from Long Legged Socialist, and they asked me, how does your experience from making a podcast compare to your expectations? And do you think something that like Spark will possibly happen again in the future? For my experience versus my expectations has been pretty much the same, because for the past 2 years, as you all know, I have done a lot of research, like a lot of research. I have like 2 or 3 pages of notes and websites and articles that I have found of analytics for podcasts, podcast networks, where to go, what to do, how to make it work, what microphone, what audio equipment, how I'm going to make it work, and how many episodes I should have in a season, and all that stuff. So honestly, my expectations versus my experience have been pretty similar for the past couple of months, which is kind of great. And so far it's going good, and getting feedback on like reviews on iTunes and social media has helped me a lot with changing and shifting the way I make my podcast, but still keeping that true, authentic way that I've always wanted to have, which is raw and honest. Now for Sparked, I really do not know if there's going to be another season or not, but it will be very cool if there was another season of Sparked in the future, something like it. Because as a contestant on the show, I had a lot of fun because I knew everyone at the studio and the contestants as well. So it helped me to be more comfortable in front of all those people and the cameras. But if there was a season 2 and I was asked to be on it again, I would not be a contestant. I'd rather be a judge or a mentor. I find those 2 ways much easier, just because judging, you can judge people's builds, their backstory, what's good about it, what's bad about it, what they could do better in the next time, and such like that. But as a mentor, it's the same exact way, but you're helping them along the process and navigating through their storytelling, their build, and how they're all going to make it connected through the editing. So if the spark was going to happen again, I'd rather be a judge or a mentor. That's pretty much it. Because honestly, contestants are stressful, and I know from experience. So as we move on to my Discord questions, I have to say, my Discord community is so big and funny and amazing people that they ask me a bunch of questions. So I might not be able to get through all of them. However, I do have to say, I just love this podcast. I love being able to answer your questions. So eventually in the future, I will be doing another podcast Q&A episode, maybe recording my face and posting on YouTube. I don't know. I just have a lot of ideas in my head for season 2 of the podcast. And if you have any ideas, feel free to tweet me, Instagram me on DMs of any ideas you might want to see on the podcast, on audio version or video version on YouTube. Now, this question comes from my Discord and Twitch mod, Savvy, and they asked me, how long do you think you're going to be doing content creation? Now, here's the thing. I've been on the internet for about a decade since I was 14 years old. I am now 25. And so I don't really see myself ever stopping content creation for a very long time, because even if I stop gaming in the next 5 years or 10 years, I do see myself streaming on Twitch for a very long time, but also making still YouTube content around like lifestyle, DIYs, interior design, graphic design, vlogging, whatever it might be. I still have other different avenues that I can find very creative and can still keep me inspired to make content for my audience, which is you all, the Spring Squad. So I think, yeah, at the end of the day, I don't think I'll ever stop. I could be making content until like I'm 95 years old. Imagine me, 95-year-old Spring Sims making content on YouTube, playing Animal Crossing or Sims or DIYing a project. Wild, I know. And everything's still being yellow. Shocker. Probably will be. Who really knows? But still, yeah. I don't know. So the next question comes from Bookworm, and they asked me, what was the hardest part about getting started / growing as a new content creator? And how did you manage and overcome it? So for me, as a content creator, when I first started at 14, I really didn't do that much promotion of myself on social media or anywhere else because I did not tell anyone I had a YouTube channel for at least 5 years. Just because I felt like it was so taboo and I would get made fun of. And regardless, I still did, but I would get made fun of and bullied a lot about having a YouTube channel all about The Sims. And it wasn't until I got into like college where I realized that I don't care what people think. I'm going to promote myself no matter what people say and be proud of it. And so when first getting started, I didn't know much about how to promote myself on social media, how to do the proper tags and keywords in my descriptions and my tags when uploading my videos, thumbnails, how to edit my videos. And it was all through trial and error on where I was able to manage on how much and how little I should keep in my videos and how to make my thumbnails and how to promote them well and also interacting with the audience and interacting with other content creators in the same genre or same niche, if that makes any sense. So for example, the Sims community. There's a lot of people around the world who make content around The Sims, whether it's on YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, Tumblr, Wattpad, Instagram, Clubhouse, whatever it might be. We're always posting content of what we love. And what I've learned throughout the years of making content is that collaboration is key, because sometimes you might have an audience that might not know the other person and vice versa. And so we're both growing our audience at the same time, because their audience will find my audience and my audience will find their audience. Because at the end of the day, it's like you're finding a new person that you can be friends with and also make content together around the same franchise. Like for example, me and my friend Rochella, we have this ongoing quote unquote beef, but it's not a beef. It's more like a funny banter thing that she loves purple and I love yellow. And we did a Twitch stream together for about 5 hours or so, where she built an all yellow house and I built an all purple house. And both of her communities are very, you know, similar in a way where she has a no yellow emote in her Twitch chat and I have a lot of yellow emotes. And it was very, very cool to see the two communities come together as a whole to say, who loves yellow? Who loves purple? And it was just like so fun to see the engagement between both of our communities. And we were growing at the same time because some people didn't know me and some people didn't know my friend Rochella. And they followed her, they followed me. And it's like two worlds collide. And it made a big, big difference. So collaboration has helped a lot with, you know, me growing my channel on YouTube and Twitch and Instagram and everything else and promoting myself to the Sims community. Like if I was tagging the Sims, like the Sims team and the gurus about my builds and my creativism and my videos to show them that here I am, here's Spring Sims making content on YouTube. You should check it out and, you know, notice it. And lo and behold, they saw it and it helped me get more eyes on me, and I've been featured in a lot of articles about The Sims, and it's helped me throughout my years of content creation. And so if you take anything from this episode, make sure you collaborate with other like-minded people, whether it's on YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, Tumblr, Wattpad, Instagram, whatever it might be, collaboration is key to grow. And make sure you have true intentions of collaborating with people, because sometimes there's a lot of people out there who will do collaboration with other people for quote unquote clout or social media stardom, which is not a thing that anyone should go into. Because I went into this whole idea of content creation that I just want to have fun and entertain people and grow a community that would be like-minded. So don't go in it for the money. Don't go in it for the subscribers, the fame, the recognition that you might get from it. Like, don't go in for those reasons. Just go into it of thinking, I want to have fun and I want to build a community that's kind, loving, welcoming, and just see where it goes. And if something really good happens, then honestly, share it, applaud it, applaud and share your accomplishments, because that is very, very important to show that, hey, I did not do this alone. We did it collectively. So the next question comes from Lucky, and they asked me, you stated in one of your streams that you try not look at your view count. Is that hard to do? And honestly, it really isn't. So on your Twitch dashboard, you have all these like little numbers up there where you can see the view count, how many views you have on your whole entire stream overall, the subscriber count, how your bitrate's doing and everything. You can actually turn all of that off so you don't have to look at it. Because the key thing is to focus on your audience and your stream and like what you're doing in your stream to keep your audience engaged. Because I feel like if you focus always on the numbers and you're like, oh, there's nobody here. And it's like, I can't really, you know, get engagement as much. Or there's like only one person here. The key thing is don't focus on the number. Focus on what you love doing. Because what I've learned over the years is that even if there's one, two, three, five people there, those five people decided to watch your stream because they wanted to find something to watch. But they also found something very entertaining to watch while they do whatever they're doing, whether they're cooking or cleaning or vacuuming or doing laundry. Even though they might not be actively chatting, they are there for you, not for just the game that you're playing. And I've learned that over the years that sometimes that I play a different game, views are lower, but that doesn't really hinder me as like, maybe I shouldn't stream this game anymore because I don't have enough viewers for the stream to get certain things. But I've learned that I love this game because I enjoy the dynamic, the genre of the game. And I want to stream it and I want to show my audience that this game's really cool and you should check it out. And when I was partner pushing and a few of my other friends were partner pushing at the same time, and they can like agree with me on this, is that partner pushing on Twitch is hard because with Twitch, you need to have 75 to 100 concurrent viewers for the next 30 days in order to achieve partnership. And that doesn't sometimes always guarantee you get partnership. Even if you reach the whole achievement on Twitch to get partnered, you're not guaranteed it. And sometimes it can be kind of hard to get denied. And even if you are still partner pushing and you're going forth the numbers and trying to figure out what content should I stream that will be entertaining for me, but also my audience. And if you can kind of come to a middle ground and where both parties will be happy, then do it. So I challenge you all who is listening to this episode, who is partner pushing or is already partnered or an affiliate or whatever you might be doing on Twitch and streaming, I challenge you for the next 30 days to turn off your view count and see how it goes. See how your mental health is going, your energy, your streams. Like, just take 30 days, turn off the view count and see what happens. Because honestly, for me, when I did that, it's been like 2 years since I've turned off my view count. Even when I was partner pushing, I turned it off because I did not want to see how many people are in my stream at a given time. So if you do that for the next 30 days, I best believe you will feel 10,000 times better because you don't have to be focusing on the views. You're focusing on your audience and who's there and your stream. So hopefully that answers your question, Lucky. I sure hope so. And now the next question comes from Kirby. And they ask me, do you prefer streaming or making videos? And do you ever get tired of The Sims? So I always get this question a lot throughout my years of content creation, whether I'm streaming Sims or making videos about Sims or non-Sims stuff. And at the end of the day, I prefer both. I like streaming just because of the real-time aspect of it, where I get real-time conversations about a person's day, how they're doing, what they're doing, if they like The Sims, what they're doing in The Sims. Like, it's that real time connection conversations that I really, really love about streaming. But I do also like the whole aspect of making videos that are pre-recorded because I get to edit them. And I love editing, even though it can be very tedious. I find the joy in it and I can convey a story in like 30 minutes and be able to do whatever I want and have fun with it. So personally, I like both. And to answer your other question, I don't really ever get tired of playing The Sims just because I find the joy in The Sims to the best of my ability, where it's like a small little detail that I find very unique that I want to expand on, like a storyline of a certain Sims pre-made family that really needs an explanation of why the way they are. And I do challenges like Rags to Riches or Not So Berry, or the Decades Challenge, or the Asylum Challenge, or the Whimsical Legacy Challenge. Like, Legacy Challenges has helped me with storytelling a lot just because it's a legacy. 10 generations. You can do whatever you want and however you want and make the storyline work best for you. And so if I get tired of a certain thing, I just make up a random thing, make up a random challenge and do it that way to make it fun for me. So the next question comes from DaffDaff, and they asked me, is there anything specific you want to achieve in the near future or the not so near future as a content creator? Well, for me, I've always loved the passion like of interior design, graphic design, building and architecture. So I've always wanted to have a TV show on HGTV or HBO Max about building, interior design, graphic design, whatever it might be, something like that, because I think that'd be really, really cool. But I've also wanted to achieve the 100,000 subscriber plaque on YouTube, because it's a silver plaque that you get in the mail from YouTube, and they have this like letter and this big box, and it looks so cool. The majority of my friends have it, and I'm like, I'm jelly. It looks cool in the background of your videos. I love it. But that is something I've always wanted to achieve. The plaque and my own TV show about, you know, building, architecture, interior design, and graphic design. So yeah, that's something I've always wanted to achieve as a content creator. Now, this question comes from my Twitch mod and Discord mod, Dab, and she asks me, when did you realize you wanted to stream and make YouTube videos? And when did you realize you wanted to make it a full-time job? Now, here's the thing. I've never really thought of making it a full-time career, but I had like this idea in the back of my mind that I wanted to do content creation for a very, very long time, just like part-time. But then I was like, hey, something's happening here. Maybe I should do this full-time at some point. But when I realized I wanted to stream was around like 2015, and I did it for a while, but didn't get back into it until 2017 because I wanted that real-time connection to my audience in real-time and ask some questions and, you know, talk about whatever I wanted, whatever stream I'm gaming or just chatting or art or whatever it might be. So that's kind of when I realized I wanted to stream. But when I wanted to make videos, I've always wanted to make videos on YouTube because I've always like been this creative, open-minded, crazy, quirky person that wanted to talk and share my stuff to the world. So YouTube was like my next best thing. So I've always wanted to make videos for YouTube, but I wasn't old enough because you had to be 13 years old to make YouTube videos. So I waited until I was 14 to make it. But I realized that I wanted to make this YouTube and streaming career a full-time job when I got the opportunity to be on The Sims Spark. And that was like around late 2019. And I knew that I was graduating university in the next couple of months. And I had a few things, you know, to fall back on, but I wanted to be a content creator full time. So I went hard into the paint to make a bunch of content, pre-record it, make sure I tagged my videos correctly, social media promotion, and Twitch streaming, and coming up with new, brand new ideas that I found interesting, but very interactive and engaging for my audience, for me, but also for them. And I knew that I was growing slowly, but then I was growing faster and faster and faster, and I got a lot more opportunities after the fact, and it helped me so much that I was able to make this a full-time career. And I'm so forever grateful for that, because I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for you all, the Spring Squad, for watching my videos or coming to my Twitch streams or interacting with my social media posts that I have on like Instagram or Twitter, because that got eyes to, you know, brands and other sponsorships. And it made it so much easier to just create content that I want to create. Now, this question comes from Blackberry Bloom, and they asked me, how did you find time to balance your art and content creation? Well, here's a little tricky thing. The tricky thing about balancing my art and content creation is when I'm not recording or streaming, I just try to find the time to sit down on my couch or in my bed or in my office just to draw and put on some lo-fi music and just vibe. I turn everything off, turn on some music, and just draw. Because I've learned that over time with content creation, it can become overwhelming when you're constantly uploading, constantly talking, and always being on with lights and cameras on your face, that it can be very detrimental to your eyesight, your back, and also your mental health. And I've learned that drawing and coloring has calmed me so much that I'm no longer stressed or not as stressed as I used to be than ever before. So that's kind of usually how I find the time to balance my art and content creation. But then I also make content around my art on my YouTube channel. And that kind of helps too, where I don't have to be always doing something crazy, where I can just turn on my camera of my iPad or my Photoshop and just capture the screen and just draw for how many hours I want. And then I can edit it down. And I find editing also very therapeutic too, because I can put music under my video and do a little voiceover maybe. But that's usually just from the time. I just try to take at least 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hours out of my day to just draw whatever I want. Maybe it's a little doodle or a complete art piece, and just sit there and relax. And that has helped me throughout so many years of my life, and I'm forever pleased about that. So now, this question comes from my other Twitch mod and Discord mod, Princess Peach, and they asked me, do you think if you never played The Sims, would you still be a streamer and a YouTuber today? 100% yes, because I find the joy in literally anything and everything, whether it's bullet journaling, art drawing, graphic design, interior design, DIYing projects, cooking, whatever it might be. I find the joy in that. So I would probably be like a art streamer on Twitch or a cooking streamer or whatever it might be, and probably play other games other than The Sims. But as for YouTube, I'd probably be a lifestyle influencer, vlogger, YouTuber, and probably just doing that for the rest of my days for the past decade. Yeah, if I never played The Sims, I would probably still be on YouTube and Twitch doing the exact same thing, but in different ways other than gaming, if that makes any sense. So I think I would never be, you know, on YouTube or ever on Twitch. So now the last and final question comes from Claire, and they asked me, do you ever get overwhelmed by the stress of being an online personality? Honestly, I never really thought to call myself that, to be honest, because I don't consider myself an online personality. Even though I do have an audience, it's still a weird term for me. But I guess at the end of the day, I do find it a little bit overwhelming to be an online personality and the stress that comes with it, because all eyes are on you. You could literally make one mistake and something bad can happen and you're canceled, which is scary. But then also when you have multiple platforms with multiple audience that are either large or small, you never really know where you stand sometimes. And you're always constantly thinking of, what should I do on this platform? What should I do on that platform? What content should I even make? And how should I make it? What people are interested in? And when you make that content that you're making, like for instance, on YouTube, when I ask my audience something and I make it, but it's not as engaging and they don't like it, it's like, well, no more of that video series anymore. That's chucked out the water. So it's kind of overwhelming and stressful when you make the content and no one really watches it. And it's like, what am I doing wrong? Am I failing? Is my life over? Is my channel over? Should I just stop doing it all completely? So it's like all this like mental thing in my brain where it is overwhelming to think about, you know, being an online personality where all eyes are on you and you have to be constantly on and answering questions and responding to comments, and it can be stressful at times. So yeah, I do get very stressed out a lot with being on YouTube and Twitch. But then I answered this question a while back ago in this episode that I've been taking time for myself where I'm taking a step back and taking breaks, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour or two out of my day, just to relax and breathe and not be overwhelmed and stressed out just being on camera all the time, where I don't want to put face cam in my videos and I don't want to have face cam in my streams. Or like there are times where I don't want to record or I don't want to stream. So I cancel stream and I don't upload videos. So that's kind of really hard for me when it comes to the fact that being an online personality comes with the stress. And there are times where you just need to take a step back and just breathe for a quick second, just to realize that you don't always have to be on all the time. You can just turn off your webcam and be perfectly fine the way it is. So hopefully that answers your question, Claire, and all that jazz. But nevertheless, I'm going to be wrapping up this episode right here, right now. I do hope you all enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. I had a lot of fun being able to answer all your questions to the best of my ability. Hopefully you learned something from this episode, from me about content creation, my mental health, anything and everything from the future to now, whatever it might be, and all that jazz. But anyway, like I said, I hope you all enjoyed it. Make sure you go ahead and follow and subscribe to me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and I will hear from you all next season. Bye-bye.